Oh my God. You're Lauren James. The woman looks down at the book on her lap, then back up at me. I'm reading Riptide right now. I've read everything you've ever written, every single word. She looks so genuinely excited, as if it's Christmas morning and she found me under the tree and can't wait to unwrap me. If her feet weren't currently soaking in warm, soapy water, she would be moving toward me, holding out the hardcover of my latest novel for my signature. I just love your books. I buy them in print and digital. I listen to them on audio while I work out. As other women look up, I thank my lucky stars that I put on makeup and washed my hair today. Writing is not the glamorous profession people think it is. In fact, authors spend long periods of time alone, unwashed, and on deadline. Grooming and hygiene can take a distinct second to word count. Ah, so you're the one keeping me in print. My smile is real, and so is my gratitude. No matter how many times you hear that someone loves what you've written, it feels good. It's like being told that your children are talented and beautiful. Or at least, I assume that's what it feels like, since I've never given birth. The thing is, if you don't have enough readers who love what you do, no one will pay you to do it anymore. She laughs at the very idea of being my only fan, because I've been successfully published for more than a decade and hit the New York Times bestseller list on a satisfyingly consistent basis. In fact, I've been dubbed the Queen of Beach Reads, which means I write the kind of books that those who want to appear literary like to sneer at, but that sell hundreds of thousands of copies and allow me to own an apartment in a really great building on Central Park West. Thank you. I'm so glad you enjoy my books. I shoot the woman a last smile, then turn my attention to my manicurist, Han. After a few words of greeting and a couple of polite questions about her children, which is about all we manage given my lack of Vietnamese and her gaps in English, I settle back into the big leather seat. I close my eyes and try to focus on the warm water swirling around my feet, but I'm careful to keep a pleasant smile on my lips so that none of the women who are currently Googling me can interpret my silence as diva-ish or carry tales about how rude and unappreciative I am. My breathing evens out as Han's small, competent hands massage my feet. I attempt to visualize a bright blue sky with puffy white clouds floating through it, like the ones that used to form over the Atlantic Ocean in the Outer Banks where I grew up. I'm not very good at meditation, and although it's not supposed to be possible, I failed yoga. My brain refuses to slow down or follow instructions, and no matter how hard I try to shut down, I'm inevitably thinking about all the things I'm thinking about but shouldn't be. Then I think about not thinking. At the moment, all I can think about is that I'm going to be 40 in 2 days, 22 hours, and 35 minutes, whether I'm ready or not. Then I think about how old that is. How not like my body has become. Han lifts one foot out of the water and I think about how unattractive my toes are. I take a conscious breath, counting slowly to 7, then holding it before I exhale to a count of 10. This is supposed to clear your mind and help you turn your thoughts in a more pleasant affirmative direction. I'm not any better at this than I am at not thinking, but I finally managed to pull up an image of Spencer, the man I've been dating for almost a year now. 3 months longer than I've dated anyone since I came to New York. He's a successful playwright and songwriter with a string of hit Broadway musicals to his credit. He understands what being on deadline means, and he's every bit as driven as I am, only way better at disguising it. I let myself try to imagine the surprise birthday dinner he's planning. I inhale again, even more slowly this time. I've spent more than a few birthdays alone since I arrived here just after my 21st, and am beyond glad to have someone to face down 40 with. I was supposed to come to New York with Brianna, my best friend in the world, a friend who felt more like a sister from the day we met in kindergarten and discovered we were born on the same day. We were both wearing paper crowns at the time.